This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Obviously, we're going to start with the Lakers and Warriors.
We got to play Lakers basketball. We got to defend at a high rate. We're playing, in my opinion, the MVP of our league this year, and Steph. So they got championship DNA as well. They know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure games. So we got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
It's going to be exciting. Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, it really starts. But then you've got the Lakers and the Warriors in the 7-8 play-in game. Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bart. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And the Goodyear Hotline is where we go right now to welcome in NBA insider Brian Windhorst. And listen, Brian, I don't know that it can be argued at this point that the play-in tournament, no matter how some players feel about it, was good for the league. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. I mean, I was watching a Wizards-Hornets game on a Sunday afternoon. There were teams that were just on the outside last year. You know, for example, if the play-in tournament was 10 teams deep last year, we would have seen the Phoenix Suns, who were 8-0 in the bubble play. And who knows what would have happened there. Do I think that that one of these teams that, you know, is in 10th or 9th place, that the teams that were added is going to go on to win the conference tournament? Or a conference title? No. But, you know, when I watch college conference tournaments, I don't think, you know, Georgetown, as Georgetown storms through the Big East and wins that, I don't think they're going to the Final Four. But it was a heck of an experience and a heck of a reason why, single elimination basketball is fun to watch. And we don't, you know, we always say that game sevens are the best in the NBA. Why do we say that? Because it's single elimination. Well, here we have single elimination for the next few days.
Now, looking at, you know, single elimination and, you know, watching LeBron try and give, you know, Curry his roses, I believe is playing better than anybody in the NBA right now. What chance do you give Golden State to legitimately come out and come out with the upset?
Well, I'd give anybody a chance in a one-off, I mean, especially between two NBA games or two NBA teams, especially a guy like Curry who could have a 12-3-point game, although the Lakers are really good defensively, and I think it's going to be hard on him. You know, historically, in one-off situations, game sevens, the home team's record is very strong. It's a very strong bet. So I like the Lakers to win, but of course I'm giving Steph a chance. I haven't seen what the line is in the game because, you know, the Warriors have been playing really well, and the Lakers come in. You know, it's because we've been paying so much attention to LeBron, it's easy to forget that the Lakers won 5 in a row on their way in. So I think both teams are playing pretty well, and I think it should be terrific. And I think it's a totally something we've never seen before, and I think it's totally something to get excited about that typically we wouldn't be excited about on a Wednesday night.
Lakers are 5-point favorites, by the way, brought to you by William Hill and Caesars. Brian Windhorst, NBA ESPN insider with us, the Hoop Collective podcast, outstanding. Brian, how healthy is LeBron right now?
Guys, he had one rebound in 27 minutes last night, and that's the number I'm watching. And I didn't break the tape down frame by frame to look at, like, where he was and positioning. That's worrisome to me. And I know that he looked good. He had that one play where there was a pass across the top of the key, and he went, intercepted it, and sprinted to the other end and scored. He's moving pretty well, but high ankle sprains, where you feel the penalty, is the ability to push off the leg. And so most of his scoring has been, most of his big time plays have been pushing off the left, which, guys, he is one of the greatest players of all time. Even on like a leg and a half, he's going to be awesome. My question is can he carry the team with maybe not having full strength in that leg? Or maybe in a month, it's way better than it is now. Can they get through this shark-infested water of the play-in and then potentially having to play the Suns or the Jazz? Because in another year where, you know, there was almost a decade where LeBron didn't lose a game in the first round. It wasn't quite a decade, but it was like 7 or 8 years. And he could he could play at 70% for the first 2 or 3 weeks and not really sweat. I don't know if that's going to be the case here. They may really need a great game out of him, you know, in about 7 or 8 days. And I'm never going to bet against him. I would rather be labeled as being wrong than bet against him. But I'm not. What I saw the last 2 days hasn't led me to believe he's at full strength at all.
Now I know we have the play-in tank game to kind of get the seeding all the way locked in. But one first round matchup that already intrigues me is really the Miami versus the Bucks, and I think that's maybe a bad matchup. What can be the ramifications for the Bucks if they fall short against Miami, as far as just not being able to be a team that can perform in the playoffs and always falling short of expectations?
Yeah, so in the modern NBA, there's a difference between having a great defense and having a versatile defense. In some cases, you could argue that being versatile is better than even being a strong defensive team. That was slammed home when the Bucks played the Heat in the playoffs last year. The Bucks had one of the best defenses during the regular season we'd ever seen. Now, granted, Giannis got hurt in that series, but what you need against the Heat, who have so many good three-point shooters, we remember Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero going crazy last year. You need a versatile defense because they're going to move around and they're going to find your weak spot, try to get that guy into a pick-and-roll situation and take advantage of it. And they can do that because they have such a versatile offense. Bam Adebayo can do so many different things. Jimmy Butler. So the Bucks have spent the last year making their defense more versatile. They traded for Drew Holiday, who's one of the most versatile perimeter defenders in the league. They traded for P.J. Tucker, one of the most versatile big men defenders in the league. They spent the regular season playing way more switching defense to prepare for how you'd have to get ready to play a team like the Heat. So it's a test whatever they've done for the last year. And by the way, even if it works and they beat the Heat, they're still looking at a bracket where they then have to probably play the Nets and then probably the 76ers. It's going to be brutal for them to get to the finals. But they are, in theory, guys, and in 2 weeks from now, we could be saying, boy, theories don't mean anything. They are, in theory, better prepared for this series than they were a year ago, even though a year ago they were the number one overall seed.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, joining Chris Carlin, Bart Scott here on Bart and Hahn, and he's joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. Did Tom Thibodeau wrap up the Coach of the Year award yesterday with the Knicks finishing in the top four in the East?
I sent in my ballot with him at number one, and the Coach of the Year was tough because I really admire the way that the Utah Jazz play the game. They play super smart, high-level, team-oriented offense and super smart, high-level, team-oriented defense. Getting guys to do that from day one to 6 months later is often the definition of good coaching. Quinn Snyder was in my number one spot for Coach of the Year for months. And I think it's miraculous that the Knicks are in the fourth seed. Considering what Tom Thibodeau got out of that roster, guys, they're in fourth ahead of some teams that are really good teams. The Hawks have a bunch of talent on that roster. There's one of the deepest teams in the league. These Celtics, I know they were swamped by COVID, and they had a rough year. That's a very talented team. We just talked about the Heat, how talented they are. The Knicks are in front of all of them. And so, yes, Tibbs was on my number one line when I submitted my Coach of the Year ballot. I think he's got a great chance of winning. But even if he doesn't, it was a spectacular year that he did for that team.
Brian, you were the guy a couple of months ago that said they have already turned coming to Madison Square Garden again into being cool, the place where that next disgruntled superstar is going to push to get traded to. When you look at how that developed so quickly, how were they able to turn it around? Was it as simple as the results?
Well, first off, they have some things going for them that, that the Indiana Pacers don't. No offense to the Pacers. They're in New York, and the Clippers, Lakers, and Nets have all made their swing. So, and even the Bulls to a certain extent, but the Knicks are the team that has all of their ammunition. They have all of their draft picks. In fact, they have two extra first-round picks that they got from the Porzingis trade they haven't even used yet. They have all kinds of cap space. So, Giannis Antetokounmpo could wake up tomorrow and say, I want to be a Laker. But it would kind of be hard to do that trade. The Lakers don't have anything to trade for him. But any other player could wake up and say, I want to be a Knick, and the Knicks have the capacity to do it. And they play in New York, and they're developing their guys, and they are run by agents now who have a long history with a lot of players in the league. And people are going to look at what's happened to Julius Randle. They're going to look at how R.J. Barrett has developed. They're going to look at Emmanuel Quickley, and they're going to think about being a part of that. I think the key for the Knicks is maybe they may have to resist going for the quick fix. What they are doing right now is working. They are developing players. They are drafting players. I'm not sure going and trading for a guy in his 30s that may be past his prime, if that's what happens, is the move. Now, maybe it is. I don't know. And it'll be tough to resist that. But, you know, Nerlens Noel has been great for the Knicks defensively. I'm not so sure you let him just walk out the door. I think that's going to be a big decision for Leon Rose. They're already proven that they can be the number four seed in the Eastern Conference. I'm not sure you want to rip the team apart unless you're kidding, like a premium A1A superstar player.
Now, we talk about disgruntled superstars. You know, one that comes to mind is, you know, maybe Dame Lillard, if they get bounced early on. And Lowry is, I believe, a free agent next year. I know he's past his prime. But what type of level star do they need to get in here, or piece do they need in the offseason to maybe upgrade this roster so that we can think that if they are the fourth seed or better next year, they can have a legitimate chance to make noise, you know, past the first round?
See, Bart, you just went right to what I was talking about. You know, do you trade everything you've got on your team to get a guy like that? Are you a championship team now? You know, you have to have multiple layers to this, multiple levels to this. It's going to be hard. I will say that the Knicks right now are in this amazing zone where they're in a honeymoon, where this is all gravy. If they get knocked, I think they're actually going to have a very intense first round series against the Hawks. But even if they lose that series, they're going to be riding on a wave throughout the summer. The real difficult part is going from a good team to a great team. And so they've got some really big decisions to make there. And I don't know what's going to happen with Portland, but whether it's him or somebody else, it's not just simple. Oh yeah, let's go for it. I think, you know, they've done that in the past, and relying on free agency and being disappointed by free agency has hurt them. This is where Leon Rose will really determine what his tenure is going to be like as team president.
Last one for me, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, the Hoop Collective podcast, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Brian, is anybody close to Jokic on your MVP ballot?
No, he was on my number one spot. He played terrifically. He played, I think he played every game or close to every game. And when Jamal Murray got hurt, you know, a few weeks ago, was frustrated in the latest balloting or the polling that Tim Bontemps did that had him way out in front of Embiid. I was frustrated that Embiid was disqualified because in a lot of voters' minds, because he had missed a couple of weeks because of injury. I don't think a 2 or 3 week injury should disqualify a player from winning the award. But even since then, after Jamal Murray went down, the Nuggets played even better, and they're holding the number three seed despite having massive injuries. That's because of Jokic. So he'll be number one. I think Embiid will be on a lot of ballots at number two. But 2, 3, 4, 5, it could go a bunch of different ways. But I think Jokic is going to win it, and I don't think it's going to be close.
Brian, awesome stuff. It's going to shape up to be a pretty fun week, to be sure. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Have a good day, guys.
Yep, Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA Insider, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. LeBron making sure to slide in that he's got Curry as the MVP, conveniently enough, just as they're about to play him in the 7-8 game.
Who they play if they win? Who they play if they win?
If they win, they would be the 7th seed, so they'll play in the West at that point. Oh, come on.
Phoenix,
the Suns.
Oh, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, man, they should be co-MVPs.
Yeah,
he gonna give corsages until he's bounced.
That's a real that's a real gift, isn't it, to get to play the Suns in the second round?
Right,
like
right.
If you're in the Eastern Conference and you win that 7-8 game.
You're the Suns. You're like, what, really?
You get the Nets if you're in the 7-8 game and you win that to move on. I'll tell you, that's no prize to be sure. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Reggie in Harlem is up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Reggie, what's up?
Yo, what's going on?
How are
you? Yo, listen, man. Yo, your Knicks fans kill me, man. They got the same owner. Them having home court advantage doesn't mean nothing because Madison Square Garden is not the mecca that it once was. And that's everybody else's home court. They still, listen, Atlanta's going to beat the Knicks, man. And who wants to come here?
Are you a Knicks fan?
Knicks fans are the biggest hypocrites because just like Stephen A. Smith is a big bandwagon rider, because they when the Knicks got Randle, all the Knicks, the majority of Knicks fans, man, Randle, who's Randle?
Well, that's because of the disappointment. Reg, that's because of the disappointment because they thought they were going to get Kyrie and KD. I mean, listen, right now, if I gave you a Toyota Camry, you'd be like, man, thank you, man. Thanks for the car. But if you thought I was going to buy you a Phantom or a Culligan, you'd be like, man, all right, man. Culligan. Yeah, well, Rolls Royce truck.
No, I know.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's like expectations. It's like the fans' expectation was that they were going to get two of the best top 10 players in the league, and they ended up with Julius Randle. And they didn't know who Julius Randle was. I mean, Julius Randle was a nice player, but he's no KD or Kyrie, even now with the great season that he's having. So I don't know if I can call the Knicks fans, you know, hypocritical. I mean, they're hypocritical. I mean, you can say that they were disappointed when they got Porzingis. Porzingis showed that he can ball, then they rooted for him.
Look, this guy turned himself into that.
Exactly.
And they love the fact that he's done that on their watch. Yeah. Yes, of course they were disappointed when they ended up with Julius Randle. There's no question. I love the fact that you go to the Rolls Royce. It's not even Mercedes. It's right to the very because of what your garage looks like.
No, that's because that's what KD and Kyrie are.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we were putting cars and labels on players. You know what I'm saying? They would be that. Julius Randle would be an F-150.
Jonathan in Georgia is up next.
King Ranch edition, though. I ain't going to play him that bad.
Jonathan, what's up? You're on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, F-150.
King Ranch.
What's going on, guys? Hey, just wanted to comment on the Coach of the Year situation. Thibodeau winning it, to me, would not be an issue. I think he's a great coach, has done a phenomenal job. But I always tend to think that it's harder to meet and exceed high expectations than it is for a team who didn't have any expectations, i.e. the Knicks, and then exceed those. Why do you think we always give people more of the benefit of the doubt when they exceed expectations if they're lower, rather than good teams who are consistently good and better than that?
I tell you what, Jonathan, that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point because a lot of times meeting expectations is a lot more difficult.
It is.
My only point about this one is there were no expectations.
Yeah, it was like,
I mean, it was seriously.
We thought they were going to be
doubled the win total of what everybody thought they were going to win, basically.
Yeah, we thought they were going to be like down there with the Pistons and the Wizards of the world, not having really a chance. Like, we thought this was, you know, another phase of the rebuild process. They have an opportunity to play
meaningful
games.
This was step one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this was not
year one, step one.
Playing in the 9-10 game
right.
would have been considered a major step forward.
Exactly.
As opposed to, I mean, you're taking four steps at a time with
what happened this year.
Scott's in Nevada next on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Scott, what do you got, dude?
Hey, guys. First off, hey, Bart Scott for president 2024. I agree with everything that you say when it comes to LeBron James and most of the stuff that you say in general. But what I will say is, as LeBron James is laying down the beginning of all these excuses going into the playoffs, on the opposite side, you got a guy like Russell Westbrook, who's now just getting talked about for averaging a triple-double, who's literally going to lead his team through the fire. A guy who's supposed to be in the 9-10 matchup gets to the 7-8 and probably going to get, if they win, I think, are going to get Brooklyn. He's going to lead that team into fire with or without Bradley Beal. Thanks.
I mean, I just love the how tough, you know, Westbrook plays. And listen, we take him for granted.
Yes.
Right?
And yes,
because,
we do.
Because it's how he plays. It's not pretty. It's just grimy. He's like when you watch Jimmy Buckets and you say, man, this dude is made, not born, because you can't put a finger on exactly what he does, like, great. He's just a competitor. and you see it. It's just like effort and persistence and consistency. He is unafraid. I mean, that three he took when he was trying to pass, and they were just like, he just took it and started talking to the bench. You know what I mean? He's not afraid to fail, and great players are not afraid to fail. He's a guy that I believe was built, not born. He just works his butt off, plays hard on both sides, and I think we don't appreciate that he's going to show up every day. No load management with Westbrook.
No.
He's going to come in. He's going to go 0 to 100. He has no cruise control.
And the last part for me is just that this is somebody that's gotten this reputation as a guy that other players don't want to play with. Yeah, James Harden doesn't have that reputation, but he's run three stars out of town when he was in Houston.
Well, Westbrook was one of them.
Westbrook, Howard in his prime, and Chris Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Paul, he ran out of town.
Yeah.
He doesn't have this reputation. Well, he quit on the Rockets to get out of town.
Well, but he's playing beautiful basketball.
I'm sure.
Because now he finally feels like he has the type of players around him, and he's playing with the people that he likes. I think a guy like Harden needs guys around him that he respects their basketball acumen, because he plays at such a high level. He thinks the game at such a high level that he needs people around, and he don't see that in Russell. Russell's a guy that you like give him the ball. He's like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. He just takes off. You know what I mean? But you think, you know, the cerebral approach to the game and being around guys that think the game and how beautiful basketball is supposed to be, I think he just got tired of having to carry people, you know, in Houston. And, you know, CP3 pulling his hamstring, put a dampers in the plans.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to wear a fat suit to get out of town.
yes, you do. Listen, right now, Aaron Rodgers is trying to do it the nice way. I want to go, please. Like, you know, he's passive aggressive. Nah, man. Show up there looking like Thor in like Ender's Game.
Speaking of which, he's not the only QB1 that an NFC North is not too sure about what their future is. We are going to get into that in moments. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Shot clock down to 8. Curry gets it back. Lets it fly from 3. Butter!
I don't know what else to say about Steph. We've been through this all year. Just very difficult to express just how good he is. Definitely the MVP in my book.
Absolutely remarkable. The guy is unreal. 46 yesterday for Steph Curry. The Warriors playing in the 7-8 play-in game. That's Wednesday night against the Lakers. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Chris Carlin for Alan Hahn. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Let's go, audio files. Let's make it happen. More from Steve Kerr on Steph Curry, the just magician that he is on the court.
Well, he's never been better. I can say that. He's been great for a long time, though, so it's hard to say he's at his best now, because he's been like this for years. I think what's different this year is just the supporting cast is different. So just an incredible season, and that's, I'll just leave it at that. He's never been better than he is right now.
Supporting cast in being different is not nearly as good. That's what he means by different. And Bart, what amazes me, and I know it's still the regular season, okay? What amazes me is that he does this being options 1 and 2 on this team. And he's still able to get it done, no matter what they throw at him.
I mean, you know, it's like that part when every athlete talks about when the mind and the body meet, when they're both at the peak. He's at the peak and the height of his powers. And like we say all the time, shooting ages well. You know, now it's going to be interesting. You know, he's 32 years old. You know, they're going to have to readjust his contract and figure out what he wants to do. And I wonder if because he's having so much fun and they are winning or they have opportunity to be somewhat competitive there in the playing game. I know he doesn't sign up for that. But does he believe that Klay coming back makes them elite again? Or does he say, you know what, it's been real here. It's great. You know, we've always heard reports that he's wanted to go back home and try and win something in Charlotte. You know, it'll be interesting to see what this offseason looks like, because if you say, hey, here's LaMelo Ball and I'll take Steph Curry, what do you do?
Publicly, he's always said he wants to stay.
Yeah.
Now, I do wonder about the Klay factor in that this is a couple of major injuries now for Klay.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's ever going to be anywhere near that? But as we discussed a little bit earlier, the idea that these younger guys may be reinvigorating him a bit in Golden State, especially to go out and beat the Lakers and get into the seventh spot.
Yeah, but I mean, you're talking about long term, and like we always thought that he would retire a Golden State Warrior, and he's won his championship, so now it's about, you know, love. But I feel like, you know, what can be the challenge, you know, going forward? Because, you know, they got a young team, right? So they're not a ready to win championship team, and I don't know if adding Klay makes them a championship caliber team.
I don't think it does yet.
As well, right? Especially in the West with, yeah, you know, all these other teams coming. So I wonder what he would do. I mean, at 33, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2022, at the end of 2022. So I wonder if he may want to move and let him know that, hey, man, I'm not coming back. Go ahead and move me.
All right. The guy that Green Bay wants back and has been desperately trying to keep is Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur pleading his case over the weekend.
I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, you know, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, you know, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
How do you prepare Jordan Love? Do you start to work on him as though he's going to be the starter?
I'm not going to make any assumptions about anything at this point. We're just going to take it day to day. Football, unfortunately, there's some uncontrolled circumstances that can happen. And, you know, you might be one play away from getting your opportunity. And in this league, you might only get one opportunity. So you better be prepared for that.
You know, the part of this story that we have not heard a lot about is how the Packers feel about Jordan Love.
Right.
And that makes me think that they don't feel great about Jordan Love.
I mean, you better be getting a package to do what he does well, because I would think that his package is going to be slightly different from Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to utilize his legs and play action and being able to RPOs and things of that sort. So, listen, he doesn't have to answer that today, but the first mandatory camp they have when Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up, it's going to be all about Jordan Love. So you better get all your coaching cliches, you know, written down and get them prepared to be able to throw them at reporters, because then you can't hide them, because then guys are going to be able to see practice and going to see if he's good or where he is as a player.
Percentage that Aaron Rodgers would actually return?
40%.
I'm at 10.
I'm just going to go 40% because I know he's a man of principle, and I know, yeah, it's not about the money, it's about the respect, and he wants to get out. But I do believe that he loves the game of football. And he knows for a fact that if he plays this year in his contract, they're going to get rid of him next year anyway, unless he signs a big extension, because it just doesn't make sense. That's the natural out in his contract, is if he's only on the contract, you know, next year and the year after, you know, the 2023. So if he's smart, he's saying, hey, I want to get out when I want to get out. You're not going to tell me when I'm done. I'm going to tell you when I'm done. So go ahead and get me out. But 40% maybe.
Right after he signed, Andy Dalton was on the Bears' social media page with – the little phrase QB1.
You got a tattoo, right? No, I
don't know if he got that. I don't know that I would have gotten that if I were him.
Slash,
a little more permanent.
/2.
Yeah, I mean, like Pete Davidson would have gotten the QB1. I don't know that Andy Dalton would have, but of course they went and drafted Justin Fields. So Matt Nagy on who is QB1.
Andy is the starter. Andy's going to get the one reps. When you go up to draft the quarterback, like Justin, everyone's very excited and they want to know when. And trust me, we all understand that. But we need to make sure that whatever that plan is that we put together, that it's the best thing for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, no, it's going to be the best thing for Matt Nagy to keep his job.
Exactly. So if Andy, listen, and a lot of times I know we kind of put Andy down, but he is a guy that took the Bengals, which was a bad organization, mm-hmm. to the playoffs 5 years in a row. Now, he never won a game, but he got him there. And in that division, that's an accomplishment within itself.
And they lost some of those games that were not remotely his fault. Vontaze Burfict, games like that.
Yeah, but you lose to T.J. Yates, whatever his name
is. All of them.
Okay. But I tell you what, listen, Nagy has experienced this right in Kansas City with Mahomes and Alex Smith. But the problem was Andy Reid wasn't on a hot seat. He's on the hot seat. So do you have a itchy trigger finger when it comes to going to your star? Because you will hope if he shows any glimmer of hope that it could buy you potentially another year if you aren't able to win a playoff game, which I believe is what they have to do because they won a playoff game last year. I mean, they went to the playoffs, but they didn't win it. They're going to have to win one to kind of show some type of progress and growth.
Justin Fields by week four.
Week four?
Week four.
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers isn't in that division, Andy Dalton may be good enough to make you in the running to win that division because Andy Dalton versus Kirk Cousins and Goff, I don't know.
Maybe it might be Kellen Mond by week five in Minnesota.
Exactly.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is Audiophiles. Eddie is in Chicago. Up next, Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Eddie, what's up, man?
Chris, Scott, as I sit here and eat my potatoes, I'm starting to think, when are we going to start talking about Steph Curry being labeled as a GOAT? When we think about a GOAT, what do we think of? We think about a winner, a guy that's an absolute killer, and a guy that can, you know, statistically put up numbers. So what do you guys think on that?
Did you say Steph Curry?
Mm-hmm.
You already can start having that conversation because he revolutionized the game of basketball. I mean, when did we ever see people running on a fast break, running to the three-point line? You know, you see what he's able to do. I think with what he's been able to do and what LeBron's been able to do as far as free agency and be your own general manager and what James Harden has done with this little sidestep that everybody does at every level has been the biggest influences on the game of basketball in the last decade. I mean, he revolutionized the game so much where if you're a big man, you couldn't play in the post no more. You had to be able to shoot threes. He made guys like Brook Lopez have to develop the game because, you know, the analytics, it just makes it too much easier.
Okay, but GOAT is greatest of all time. He is greatest of all time what?
No, under 6 feet. He's the greatest shooter of all time by far.
Okay,
I think before it's Ray Allen and maybe Reggie Miller, I think he kind of took that over as the greatest shooter. Those guys bow down to him like he's the greatest shooter that this game has ever seen.
Okay, and greatest player under 6 feet? Absolutely. I'm absolutely.
I'm with Zeke, but I got it. You know, I can understand the argument.
Yeah.
For Curry as being the greatest player under. Well, he's 6'4", my bad. But he just looks like 6 feet, man.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, smallest little player, I guess we can say that.
I look at him and I don't think about size. I think about the fact that he's a dynamic player.
Yeah.
But
he's such a little guy, man. You know what I mean?
He seems like a little guy. Thrown around too much.
Well, greatest shooter of all time.
No, okay. All right, greatest shooter of all time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Up next, the Knicks are in the playoffs in the number four seed. But what's more important that they've actually accomplished? We hit it when we return. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Get your energy going and everything when it's playoff time. You know, that's when you want to put everything out there.
I'm just saying, one way or another, they're going to be in the playoffs.
The biggest piece now is continuity with that play-in staring them in the face.
The closer we get, the more energy we're going to have.
Fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. Nobody would have ever seen that coming for the New York Knicks. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by My Computer Career, training for a better life. So they get the Hawks in round one. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's hit Emmanuel in Atlanta on the Hawks-Knicks series. Emmanuel, what's up, bud? You're on Bart and Han. What's going on?
What's up, guys? So I just got to say, first off, I'm just going to say that I do disagree with the way people are thinking that the Hawks and the Knicks series is going to go. I think that the Hawks have the series 4-2, and I'm going to tell you why. The Hawks are going to steal the first game in New York. They'll probably, you know, they'll probably come back too excited and lose the second one, but they're going to take those two in Atlanta. New York's going to come back and do what they do, but then the Hawks are just going to take that last game in game six, and they're going to go ahead and go to the second round.
Yeah, when you told us why, I don't really think you understood what that meant, because you just said they're going to steal the first game. Why are they going to steal the first game? Why are they going to get some of these games? Now, I don't, by no stretch is it a lock that the Knicks are winning this series.
I don't think anybody said that. I mean, you heard Stephen A., who's the biggest Knicks fan of them all, saying in seven, he thinks it's going to be a hard fought out series. I think if the Knicks are going to be able to have a chance, one, they're going to have to continue to light it up at a high percentage from outside, but also they're going to have to find out an answer for Trae Young, because if he can get loose and open up the court and open up the driving lanes with his shooting, then I think the Knicks are going to be in trouble. They're going to have to be physical with these guys early, because, you know, I don't look at the Hawks like a physical football. I mean, physical football. They're going to have to play it like a football team. You're going to have to beat them down and grind them out.
Well, are they going to get a whistle? I mean, that's the other
thing. That's important. How's this game going to be officiated?
If it's going to be officiated tight throughout the series, the Knicks are in big trouble.
Yeah.
Big, big trouble if that happens.
Yeah, you got to lean on them. And somebody's going to have to step up, because if I'm the Hawks, I'm like, listen, Julius Randle is not beating me. We're going to double him. We're going to blitz him. We're going to make sure we pick him up full court. We're going to get the ball out of his hands and then force them to be able, somebody else to be able
to
facilitate.
So who is that going to be? I mean, I think their best
option. You got to start Rose.
I think their best option is Derrick Rose. The way they've started some of these games, you cannot. Look, I get it. Elfrid Payton plays some physical defense. You can't. You just can't anymore.
Yeah, because you don't want to put a team like the Hawks on the line early, you know what I mean, by being physical play. You want to make sure that you grind it out on them, but – you know, if I'm them, like, Julius Randle is not going to beat me.
The one most important thing to me, above all else, is that they have made this a destination again.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing to come out of it, not the four seed.
Well, you don't want to go get swept. Get swept.
You want to feel good. You don't want to disappoint, you know, at the end. But no matter what, perception has been changed.
Yeah, perception is reality. And right now the perception is that the Knicks is a good destination to go to. They're a solid team. You know, we're talking all this stuff about these superstars. You may just end up with Lonzo Ball.
Bart and Han, brought to you by Attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 866-DADS-LAW. If you missed any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. It's going to be fun tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait, man. I'm truly excited. I've never been excited about playing games, but these playing games are so evenly matched. It's going to be fun to watch.
Eastern Conference tomorrow night. Going to be awesome to get going. Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.